Texter writes, here, if you need a prediction on the upcoming snowstorms, just call Al Gore or Bernie Sanders. They know what the weather is going to be 50 years from now. So does the crazy ex-girlfriend. She knows, too. Just call her office.
Okay.
Where, by the way, did you see what happened with her? Folks pointing out, you know, you get that congressional salary is pretty fat, you know?
Yeah.
That she was not redistributing it. She's keeping most of it for herself.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so now she's saying she's going to pay them $15 an hour. Lee, I don't think that's fair. That's not fair.
Well, she's paying the interns $15 an hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because interns generally are not paid in Washington. It is a privilege to serve there. It is an honor. It is something that looks good on a resume.
No. See, we all have to make the same amount.
Oh, okay.
See what I'm saying? So what she needs to do is take her annual salary, right? She's got to be consistent. Let's take her annual salary, divide it by the number of people in the office, including herself. And there you go, right? Instant equality.
Okay.
Of course, she won't be making much a year that way.
No.
And so the important thing is that she's making much a year that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. You won't see her doing this. That's just not going to happen. Okay. So in the meantime, some good news. Christmas comes early. This is so exciting because the answer to all of our economic problems, including, if we had some sense, our debt, is the natural resources that we have. Did you see this? The Department of the Interior just discovered the largest U.S. oil and gas reserve ever found in New Mexico.
Ever. In New Mexico.
Ever found.
New Mexico.
In New Mexico. It's New Mexico and West Texas. So big it stretches actually across two states. Are sitting on a bonanza of potentially recoverable oil and gas reserves in the Delaware Basin that lies between the two western states. That's according to the Department of the Interior. Two underground layers in the Delaware known as the Wolfcamp Shale and Bone Spring Formation contain 4.6 billion barrels of unrecovered oil and 281 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. That's the largest oil and gas reserve the U.S. Geological Survey has ever discovered. Even for someone who understands the resources and potential of the Permian Basin, I can't help but be surprised by the sheer enormity of what the USGS has reported, New Mexico Oil and Gas Association Executive Director Ryan Flynn told reporters. Yeah, it's shocking. It's awesome. The Permian resources shared by New Mexico and Texas make this area one of the most important places in the world in terms of oil production. Yeah, that's an understatement, I actually think. Total reserves in the Delaware Basin could be far larger than even reported. They don't know yet.
How does the Delaware Basin wind up in New Mexico and Texas?
I don't know.
Who names these?
I'm just glad it's in the continental U.S.
Well, my question will be, is this on federally owned property or is this on private property? Because if it's on federally owned property, I guarantee you one of the first things Democrats are going to try and do when they take control of the House in January is stop this.
Stop this, yes.
Do their best to stop it.
And they're not going to, the Senate won't allow them to do that, which is the good news.
Well, let's hope not.
I don't think so. I mean, even Paul Ryan, as you know, is a disaster for this country and the damage he has done is incalculable. But the one thing that Paul Ryan did that was good that I've always given him credit for is he gave Obama everything he wanted, including the kitchen sink in a budget in exchange for finally lifting the embargo on the United States of America. We had embargoes on Iran, Iraq, and ourselves.
As far as oil is concerned.
Exportation, yeah, yes. Yeah. We were punishing Iran for their terrorism, and then us, I don't know, we just punish ourselves because we like to do that. So we had an embargo on ourselves because we're idiots. And Paul Ryan finally got that. So, I mean, we literally watched, I'll never forget the pictures of the first oil tanker finally leaving the country again with this massive export that we have.
Outgoing, not incoming.
Yes, outgoing, as you say. Yeah. So, you know, leaving, outgoing, and that kind of thing. Local activists in New Mexico's Sandoval County proposed an ordinance in 2017 that would have banned drilling and fracking within 750 feet of homes, schools, hospitals, fresh water supplies, which would have been basically everywhere. It also required areas that to be fenced and operations to provide certificates, blah, blah, blah. Okay, such gas exploration is regulated at the state level in New Mexico. But to answer your question, Sandoval lacks rules governing fracking on unincorporated land within the county. So they go on and say that. Anyway, so this is a fantastic news. If the Democrats get back in control, one of the first things they will do is try to stop this because we cannot have prosperity in the country. Otherwise, people will not be dependent on them. So they'll make up some enviro thing.
Exactly.
But I mean, this is absolutely fantastic. When you look at what we got, I mean, 46.3 billion barrels of unrecoverable unrecovered oil. There. And again, they don't know the full extent of it. Now, you know what would be really exciting is to see an announcement like this coming off the South Carolina coast. from the expiration there, because I have a feeling that's coming, because I'm telling you what, our political class would not be fighting as hard as they are against exploration. Not fracking, not extraction, exploration.
Yeah. Just
if they didn't think there was a ton of it out there.
Yeah.
Now, believe me, they've all read the Association of Oil, I forget their acronym. There's been two big oil company and natural gas reports done on there, and they think there's a ton of resources off our coast. And with the new technology, I mean, some of these areas have not been explored for 30 years off there. So, I mean, if they didn't all believe that we had these resources off the coast, they wouldn't be fighting exploration so hard. If you thought there was nothing out there, you'd be like, yeah, explore, who cares? Except nobody would be exploring, Lee, because businesses have to pay to do that.
Yep.
So I can't wait to hear an announcement like this off our coast, because it would mean we'd be like Texas if we, if we extracted. Texas is essentially recession proof. The rest of the country had the Great Recession. Texas just simply opted not to participate, and they didn't. They didn't participate. I mean, their growth rates did dip in the Great Recessions, their recession economic growth rates, but they were still holding steady at 4% and 5%. That's not a recession. So, I mean, you look at living in a state that's recession-proof. You could just move there and work, and you'll be fine. That's what these kind of levels of natural resources mean. And it's super exciting for the country.
I like the sound of that, recession-proof. Yeah.
No, they literally, I read an article about that. It was absolutely amazing. They literally were the only state that did not go through the recession. Their growth rate hummed right along, and then they came out of the recession and at times had a growth rate of 7 to 8%. Wyoming has hit double-digit growth rates in some years and some quarters. Well, it's actually some quarters, would be more accurate to say. So, I mean, you look at places that are willing to drill, and that's what you get. You get an amazing quality of life difference for the people who live there. You get economic freedom. You get prosperity. You get good jobs for people in that. And you cannot prevent that from spilling out from the oil and natural gas industry either. I mean, there's so many other industries that serve them.
Don't say oil, natural gas, and spilling in the same system.
Well, natural gas does not spill.
I know.
Somebody needs to explain that, by the way, to the guys in Colombia. It's gas.
Yes.
It doesn't leak like it's not. No. See, so they keep saying, we're going to have a spill. It could destroy the tourism. Not natural gas, you boob. What could spill? No, we can't spill. Science.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. By the way, Tara, I know you've got a lot of important things to talk about today, but I just wanted to take a minute before we go out to break here to recognize a milestone for you and for this show. Officially, the anniversary is tomorrow, but I don't think you're going to be here tomorrow. So I'm going to recognize it today. This is now 4 years.
Wow.
That you have been on the air.
I knew it was here this month, Chris, but I forgot. How did you remember that?
You're in the Upstate. Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, it's my wife's birthday tomorrow.
Oh,
so
that's how. Okay.
So that makes it easier to remember. It's also the anniversary of the third worst headache that I've ever had in my life.
I got you.
What, so starting to produce her show?
Yeah, I was going to say.
You'll remember your first day was rather rocky.
Yes.
Because your producer didn't show up because he was very ill that morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it was nuts. And so I had this whole audio montage where I was going to seamlessly take over for Wes Castle. And I was playing the last moments of his show. And I was going to pick up there. And I had put so much time into it. And you were not here.
And then
I could not turn the equipment
all
on. Moneypenny comes running in from her job at a gas station in the middle of the night.
Yes.
She's literally left the gas station hanging to come in here. And so I'm hitting the audio. And I think it's playing. And it's not. And so I'm narrating around blank air.
Oh.
But I can hear it in here. So I think it's going out on the air. And people are completely, they're like, what? Who? Huh? What? This makes no sense.
Well, it was all up from there.
Yes, it was. It definitely. We went straight up from there, and we've had a great 4 year. Can you believe it's four years? Of
4 years
now. By. Can you be like, you didn't even have any kids then?
I know.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
Now you got a whole passel of them.
Just in the end of September, Christopher Robin turned 3.
And you thought you were having headaches then.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you had seen nothing yet, boy. I tell you what. Thank you, Chris.
So
I did not
congratulations.
Realize that.
4 years now, Tara Servatius has been on the air here.
Yes. And hopefully upward and onward for all of us.
What do you get for a fourth anniversary? Is it like maybe a plastic straw or something?
You get a plastic straw for that, and you get a pat on the head from
there
the management.
You go. There you go.
You know the drill, Lee.
Yeah.
Well, news of what just happened in Pickens County has made it all the way to the Washington Post. And I don't normally like much of what I read there. But I like this, at least the parts of it, that have to do with what happened with a local homeowner. Prison break in Pickens County. No doubt you've heard about this. Two guys break out of the prison. One of them is rounded up about a half mile from the prison. But the other one has a little more success. His plan is he is going to kick down a woman's door and hide out there. Here's from the Washington Post report on this. Bruce McLaughlin Jr. and Timothy Dill put the jailbreak into motion sometime around 2 a.m. on Tuesday. It was a graveyard shift at the jail in Pickens County, South Carolina, when their fellow prisoners were asleep. And if luck was on their side, the guards were less alert than normal. McLaughlin and Dill surprised and overwhelmed two guards, incapacitating them, then bolted for the chain link fence that separates the jail from the residents of Pickens. So said Sheriff Rick Clark. Then Clark said the plan began to collapse as things grew desperate. Other jail guards and Pickens County Sheriff's deputies learned of the escape, and Dill was found on Concord Church Road, about a half mile from the facility. Minutes after escaping, he was on his way back to jail. But McLaughlin, a tattooed neck felon who was jailed on charges of grand larceny and first-degree burglary, according to Newsweek, kicked in the kitchen door of a nearby home. Inside, a woman lay in her bedroom alone and asleep, authorities say. McLaughlin, the felon, picked up a foot-long kitchen tool used to hone knives. A few minutes later, authorities received a 911 call. It was the no longer sleeping woman. She'd just shot the man, she told dispatchers, and he was dying on the floor outside her bedroom. She had no idea who he was, she said, but he was wearing what looked like jail clothes. Authorities found McLaughlin, the felon, on the floor of the woman's home with a gunshot wound to the head. He was flown by helicopter to the hospital, but he did not survive. So today's epic rant, our first, comes from Pickens County Sheriff Rick Clark, who praised the woman for taking the time to change the outcome of this event.
I think the main thing that I get out of this is, first of all, our people were on scene within 4 minutes. Our dispatch did great.
Did you hear that? That's a great response time. No criticism to them there. That is a great response time. 4 minutes. 4 minutes with a guy standing outside your bedroom with a weapon. That is a mighty long time if you don't have a weapon yourself. All right, I want you to hear what Pickens County Sheriff Rick Clark said next about this woman.
Everybody on scene did great. But the one thing I want to stress in this is, especially females, is get your CWP. Be trained in your weapon. Shoot it often at the local range or where you can. But this is the shining example of what this lady did, took the time to get her CWP and set herself up to be able to protect herself and not be harmed, killed, or raped or whatever. She came out on the good on this end, and the other guy, the bad guy, didn't. If there's no other thing we pull out of this today, I want to hammer that home of how this lady saved her life because she took a half a day out of her life and went and got training. And when that training came through, she was calm and steady as somebody can be in that situation, and she saved her life and stopped the bad guy.
This was a big guy, Sheriff Clark said. This is from the Washington Post. This was a big guy, Sheriff Clark said. If she didn't have a weapon, there's no telling what would have happened, but she stopped the crime, she solved the crime, and came out a winner. When Clark met the woman, he said, he told her as much. Quote, I gave her a big hug. I told her how proud I was of her. Now, kudos to the Washington Post for printing this. I often criticize the media for amplifying mass shootings while ignoring this kind of stuff to create a skewed public perception that guns are only used to commit crimes, not stop them. Now, here's what the Washington Post wrote. Though, they had to turn the Santo gun. They had to figure out how to do it. Critics of the National Rifle Association has repeatedly lauded hashtag armed citizens who kill mass shooters or other dangerous people. The lobbying group also has used the incidents to criticize politicians who've pushed for stricter gun control. Now, okay, the Washington Post writes, critics of that argument say that people who just happen to have access to firearms at the right moment aren't a substitute for comprehensive gun control policies that keep weapons out of the hands of criminals in the first place. All right. The guy didn't have a gun, folks. All your comprehensive gun control in the world wasn't going to stop him. He had a weapon used to sharpen knives, and he was standing outside her bedroom door. So once again, here's the left. They got no answer for you. Critics of the argument say that this is Washington Post, say people that just happen to have access to firearms at the right moment aren't a substitute for comprehensive gun control policies that keep weapons out of the hands of criminals in the first place. Again, this criminal did not have a gun. He had a different weapon. She would have been utterly alone and completely at his mercy, but she wasn't because she took control of the situation. They have no argument for that. And so just talk to him for 4 minutes. Just, yeah, sit him down, offer him some tea, try to waste some time. I'm sure he'll be totally understanding of the fact that you just called 911. And he'll just sit there having tea with you and wait for them to arrive, right? Anyway, good for Pickens County Sheriff Rick Clark on pounding that message home, both to the good guys, yeah, who should take CWP classes, but also to the bad guys, that he's going to cheer the good guys on when we shoot you. Amen. Good morning. A lot of folks on the text line congratulating me on my 4-year anniversary, which actually is tomorrow. Texter writes, if you are ever up for adoption, my wife and me get first dibs, instant daughter, grandchildren, and son-in-law. Just add radio. Cool. Oh, that's sweet. Texter writes, good morning, Tara and Lee. In your opinion, which person is the single most powerful member of the deep state? Thanks, Bill Turner. Well, Bill, I would say it would just it wouldn't be any one person. It would probably be the DOJ and the FBI as a group among the most powerful. Did you see what happened overnight? Clinton Foundation whistleblowers have come forward with hundreds of pages of evidence. Okay, why is this happening? Let's ask ourselves that. Why are whistleblowers out there with hundreds? By the way, I don't know. Does the FBI know where they live? Are they going to get the boot through their door? Because, I mean, whenever you come up with any evidence against Hillary Clinton, man, you're getting a boot through your door. Doesn't matter what federal law says. And so here's what is interesting about these whistleblowers. This is the problem with the whistleblowers for the deep state. The whistleblowers have come forward because, and most mainstream media outlets won't tell you this, because U.S. Attorney John Huber, who was put in charge of investigating the foundation by Rip Van Sessions, has not lifted a finger to do so. He has not interviewed a single witness. He's with the Department of Injustice. He is a federal prosecutor who is, of course, a Democrat, because there are no Republicans allowed, you understand, to investigate where you know, it pertains to Clinton. So Rip Van Sessions went and got a Democrat U.S. attorney, Democrat donor, longtime known Democrat. And a year ago, said, okay, go investigate the foundation. None of the witnesses have been contacted. Yeah, because they're just not investigating. It's Hillary. The law does not apply to her. They understand that at the Department of Injustice. This is why the whistleblowers are coming forward with this information. Because the Department of Justice is once again suborning justice. That's what they do. It's the opposite of their mission. So Fox News reports three people have come forward with hundreds of pages of evidence of potential wrongdoing by the Clinton Foundation, including misappropriation of funds and allegations of quid pro quo promises. Now, normally whistleblowers only come out of the woodwork to let folks know something's going on, blow the whistle. They don't come out when there's already an official investigation, because why would you need to? But the official investigation, as with most things pertaining to the Clintons and our Justice Department, it's bogus. And that's why they've needed to come out. Three people have come forward with hundreds of pages of evidence of potential wrongdoing by the Clinton Foundation, including misappropriations of funds, allegations of quid pro quo promises made to donors during Hillary Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State. Yeah, she was selling the office. Of course she was. So that's out there now. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this. Very, very interesting to see. The other thing that is going to be interesting to see is if the FBI knew any of this. The DOJ, how long have they known it? That's why they have to come out as whistleblowers. This is absurd. And apparently the Clintons, according to this, were mingling personal and charity funds. They were just chunking it all in there. So we'll see what happens. It's probably nothing. That's, I mean, it's Washington, but still. So we got whistleblowers coming out of the woodwork all over the place. And the reason they're doing this, like the guy who got the boot through the door by the 16 FBI agents. Can you imagine 16 FBI agents knocking your door down? Violating your home. How terrifying that would be. The FBI vans outside. When you thought under federal law you had whistleblower protection, but you don't because the person you blew the whistle on is the FBI. It's a political race. I mean, it's terrifying to watch. And so, we have three whistleblowers on that. These are three separate whistleblowers with Clinton Foundation evidence. And the reason they're all coming out now, again, is because our justice system won't do its job. And these crimes are right in front of our faces. It's maddening. It's just maddening. Texter writes, if you have the goods on the Clinton crimes, you either wind up dead or you're going to jail for a long time. They've been doing this for decades. Another texter writes, Tara, congrats on the 4 years. I give you hell sometimes when I think you've got things wrong, but you're the best morning show in the upstate. Congrats. So says Brian in Greenville. Well, thank you, Brian. Texter writes, congratulations, Tara. That's from Dave, USMC. Semper Fi to you, my friend. Thanks for your service. Texter writes, odd, those who support illegal invasions of the country also want to ban legally armed citizens. Makes one wonder who the real criminals are. Great point. Another texter writes, no gun control policy keeps guns away from the bad guys. Yes, the only people we can ban from having guns legally are those who follow the law, not the others. Texter writes, that criminal would not have needed a weapon, a full-grown man versus an unarmed woman. Good point. Trey Gowdy, still our Congress member on Fox News, explaining why it is that James Comey, director of the FBI, who often perjures himself before Congress, but nobody cares, wants to answer questions in public. You know why it is? And he hints at this. He doesn't fully explain it. Probably didn't have time on Fox News. But the thing Comey is most in trouble for right now is an email chain between himself, we know he's on it, and multiple higher-ups at the FBI and the DOJ. And they are conspiring to commit perjury, which is a crime, conspiracy to commit perjury. And what they're conspiring about is the Steele dossier, and that they knew that parts of it weren't true. There's two congressional committees, according to The Hill, who have these emails. Despite knowing it wasn't true, Comey and several others signed their name above a line that says, under penalty of perjury, I know the contents of these documents to be true. They did not. They put it in writing. But the FBI and DOJ just classify everything. They classify their crimes. That's what they do. They make it all classified. And so you can't talk about it in public. And so Comey has got to get through the hearing today, assuming he shows up. We still don't know if he will. I mean, he says he will, but we don't know. Assuming he shows up, he cannot answer questions about that. Because he could end up in prison if we had an honest justice system. So he can't do that. So he's got to be able to say it's classified, it's classified, it's classified, it's classified, 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 classified. Nope, sorry, can't do anything about that. Gowdy nails him on this yesterday.
Why Jim Comey, the last time I was in a public hearing with him, over 100 times he said, I cannot answer in this setting. Why Mr. Transparency wants to go back to a setting where he knows he cannot answer the questions is befuddling to me, and I don't think my fellow citizens buy that.
Yeah. So that's Comey's game. So a bit of media spinning. Oh, he's such a transparent guy. No. If he goes behind closed doors in a classified setting, then he can answer questions about his crimes. So he didn't want that. So this is why he was insisting that if he goes behind closed doors, the Republicans release the entire transcript, knowing they can't release the parts about classified data, and he's protected. This is what they do at the FBI. They spend a lot of time figuring out how they can lie to get out of their crimes. They're very good at it. Dave in Boiling Springs.
Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Good.
Representative Dowdy. I couldn't come in to see him, so he did call me a couple weeks ago. And I asked him about funding for the wall. Specifically, as I said, it's a very simple way to get the wall funded. Just tax transfer payments from that go to Mexico, because that's most of their economy comes from those money going down. His absolutely incredible answer was, I've never heard of that. Are you kidding? I said, Trump talked about it during the campaign. Gee, I've never heard of that. Now, he never heard of it because Rhino told him not to listen to him. That's why. He didn't want to say that, but I couldn't believe our representative said he never heard the proposal that you could tax money, transfer payments, and be able to fund the wall. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah,
that is
one of the ways that Trump proposed Mexico would pay for the border wall. But great point. Great point. Meanwhile, by the way, did you see this? I meant to get to this yesterday. Remember that bill by Goodlatte that would have implemented E-Verify, would require that every job in America be run through the federal background check? It would be law. It would make it almost impossible for illegal immigrants to get jobs, but it would make it very possible to prosecute the employers that hire them under the table, because it would be very easy to prove you either did the check or you didn't. Right now they can claim, oh, well, they had fraudulent Social Security documents. How was I to know? And it's a good defense. How were you to know? Well, we got an easy way to know, and it would have been mandatory E-Verify. Would have removed the huge jobs magnet, and we would see far fewer people flooding the border. Representative Goodlatte has come out and said the House leadership blocked Trump-backed immigration reform. Remember Trump began begging in June? Please, close the loopholes these leftist judges have created by making their own law. Please, help me secure the border. Please, end catch and release. I have to do it. I don't want to. Please, Congress can do it. So House GOP leadership is responsible for blocking pro-American immigration reform requested by President Donald Trump. Requested? He begged. So we now know, folks. So when you look at the caravan at the border and you get mad, don't get mad at the Democrats. They're just doing what they do. Get mad at the people who could have stopped it. Their names are Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, and Paul Ryan. Unfortunately, Kevin McCarthy's still in power. He's going to be the speaker next, so nothing will change. It's a shame, though. So, you know, when you're seeing record numbers of illegal immigrants apprehended at the border, that it's back up to where it was under Obama and in some places higher, that was deliberately engineered by the GOP leadership. Don't take my word for it. Take Representative Goodlatte's. He would know. It was his bill.